Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, people! Live from the Bronx, New York, this is the Brovian Talks. The news, information, videos, comedy, and stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Brovian93, at Brovian93. That is BROVIAN93. BROVIAN93 on Twitter. So, I hope that all you guys had a great Thanksgiving. You ate a lot, enjoyed time with family. Thanksgiving 2016 has now passed, and we are pretty much entering the official holiday season for most people. For me, the holiday season pretty much kicks off after Columbus Day, as we get ready for Halloween, then we get ready for Thanksgiving, now we get ready for the last two holidays of the year, which is Christmas and New Year's. I had an okay Thanksgiving, a pretty good one, can't complain really. I had enough to eat. And I had family come over. And the food actually was pretty good. My dad's a good cook, so, he cooks good. We had a big turkey this year. I think we had a deal off at the supermarket because we go there. And I think, we got enough, points on a car or something for a bargain turkey. So that was pretty good to eat. Actually, the weather for Thanksgiving was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It wasn't too cold and too hot. We had a heat going a little bit, but that was a bit much, so we had to turn it off because after a while it gets expensive. So I woke up on Thanksgiving morning, and I do my typical Thanksgiving routine. I woke up, I cleaned a little bit to have the house presentable when people came over. And as I was cleaning the house, I was watching the news. I think I had Pix 11 on here in New York City. So it was Channel 11. Then after, about 9 o'clock, I put on NBC for the parade. And I spent the last 4 hours watching NBC, lying down, with a cup of eggnog, waiting for the food to be ready. And the parade this year was actually okay. It wasn't as good as last year's parade. It wasn't bad, the Broadway numbers, I really didn't care for many of them. The Cats, Hairspray, Something Was Cooking, I forgot what it was. The Broadway numbers, which, dominate the first hour and a half of the parade, not that good. I wasn't a fan of them at all, The Rock Cats are always, good at what they do. The Balloons. We had some interesting balloons this year. We had a Feel the Cat balloon, which I think was like a homage to the original Feel the Cat balloon that they had back in God knows when, maybe the 30s. They had that cool Pikachu balloon. They had Snoopy. And you had all the cool, funny characters, And, of course, we had Santa Claus. And I wasn't, a fan of this introduction to Santa Claus, because usually they have a song, and for the longest time, they had that song that Kermit the Frog sings, like, I Believe or something, and for some reason, they don't play that song anymore. I don't know why. I love that song. That song really encompasses, to me, the Christmas season, at least in the Santa Claus, or non-religious point of view. For children, the imagination. And again, this is like the third straight year that they didn't play that song when Santa Claus came out. And I love that song, so I hope next year they go back to that song. I doubt it, but that's my two cents on that. But the parade was pretty good, Al Roker interviewing stars in the stands, Matt Lauer and Susanna Guthrie, again, They've been doing it for years now. They're pros. But I had no idea they showed Conan on Channel 2, and on Channel, I think, is it 11 they showed it as well? They showed it on another station, not sure which one it was. But I don't know who hosted it on CBS 2. I have no idea. It definitely wasn't anybody from the local news. I know that. So after the parade ended, you know, I went up around noon. You know, at my house, we eat early. So at noon, we went upstairs. And we, you know, said grace. We ate. And every year, you know, I don't know if you guys do this, but we do. We watch the dog show. And it took me so long to realize that the dog show was pre-recorded. So I was at the dog show was live. But it's not. So as we're eating, you know, we're looking at dogs. I'm wishing I had a dog because they're all so cute. Except for the dog that I want. The dog that I want is kind of ugly, you know. I'm sure to a dog expert or dog lovers or whoever these people are, it was a great dog. It was gray. And, you know, I guess I was being too ignorant of the dog, but I felt, you know, a cute little dog could have shown one. But, you know, in my eyes, a cute little dog is always a cute little thing. And after we ate, we turned on Netflix, and we started watching The Twilight Zone. And, you know, Twilight Zone is usually 4th of July thing I do, or sometimes a Christmas thing I do. Even though I don't think they show Twilight on Christmas, I guess one I did it once in a while. Maybe they don't anymore. I don't know. So we saw a couple of Twilight Zone episodes. And then around 5 o'clock, everybody left. I turned on the local news, like I usually do. And, you know, I relaxed and, you know, had some leftovers. Run the computer, you know, so what everybody else is doing. And then I, you know, while the Toy Brown Thanksgiving, I DVR'd it the day before. Toy Brown was great. And then I went to bed. Now, I don't know for some people, but for me, the day after Thanksgiving is almost as good as Thanksgiving Day. I don't know what you people do. I did not go shopping or buy anything. I didn't even go out on the next day, on post-Thanksgiving Day. But every year on TCM, usually, well, I shouldn't say every year, but usually TCM, you know, maybe you don't know, has an Alfred Hitchcock movie marathon. You know, they usually play Rear Window, Vertigo, Strangers on a Train. I think Notorious is one of them. Is it one of them is called? And the one was Cary Grant. I forget which one that's called. Not North and Northwest, but that one too. But another one. The name is Keith at the moment. But this year, you know what? They didn't have the Hitchcock movie marathon. Oh, and they also showed one year, Dial M for Murder, which is I think my favorite one. Maybe Rear Window is my favorite one. But this year, you know, no Hitchcock marathon, like they typically do. But instead, they had Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers movie marathon. You know, the dancing, the singing, decent love story between whoever they're playing. You know, it was fun, you know. As I was having Thanksgiving leftovers, I was watching, you know, Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers dance together, fall in love together, hate each other, you know. The typical flow of those movies do. Like, you know, they had Top Hat, Shall We Dance, Swing Time, and one of them, Fred Astaire played some guy in the Navy. I forgot what that one was called. I DVR'd that one because I had to leave to go visit my grandma. But, you know, Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, great movies. You know, they're good actors, great dancers. And a lot of talented people, they are. And it took like, 12 hours watching nonstop Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movies. And for the most part, most of these movies are pretty good. You know, I don't really like love stories or musicals, but I'm going to sit down and watch a Fred Astaire and a Ginger Rogers movie. I would. They're great. I DVR'd a couple of them because, you know, I had to get up, get food, or go out and buy a bottle of wine. And I had the greatest bottle of wine they've given. It was great. I'm not a huge wine guy. I'm more of a Bud Light person or a Heineken guy. But I had some wine. I forget what it's called. But it was the greatest wine I ever had. I almost drank the whole bottle in one day. That's how good it was. Oh, my God. It was fantastic. But anyway, you know, even though the Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers movies have the same formula for the most part, all of them do, you know, they're little twists and turns that make them a little bit different from each other. So that was great, you know. They make good movies. One day, we'll go through all of them, and we'll talk about them in length. But we can't do that today because we have to talk about this dumb recount stuff and about the Romney war and the Trump campaign or Trump transition team at the moment. As you may or may not know, but you should know by now, Jill Stein has received enough donations to pay for a recount. I know they're having a recount in Wisconsin, but I'm not 100% sure if they're having one in Michigan and Pennsylvania as well. And as we all know, if the recount shows that Hillary actually won those states, it would mean that Hillary won the election. Now, let's be practical here, people. We all know that Hillary Clinton, even with these recounts, won't win the election. She just won't. Jill Stein has been attacked for her actions. You know, people think it doesn't make any sense. People asking her why she's doing it. Does she have a motive behind it? And, you know, I don't know why she's doing it, but I could assume, based on the rhetoric after the election, or after we found out Trump was going to win, I could imagine that she's not doing this for an agenda. She doesn't, you know, she's not in it for Hillary. You know, she's not crazy. Believe it or not, she's a smart person. I don't think any of these cynical things people are throwing out there on both sides. My take on it, and I'm not being partisan when I say this. This is just what I observed during this, you know, during the past 3 weeks of the election. And that is, I think, and I have no evidence to base off this, but this is what I would feel if I was in a position. Because let's face it, a lot of people on the left, after Hillary lost, some on TV, some on the streets, some behind closed doors, are pretty miffed about Jill Stein and Gary Johnson. How they feel that a lot of people who voted for them were Hillary voters, and if they were in the race, Hillary would have won. I think Jill Stein from the left is under attack. I think she feels the pressure that a lot of people on the left, maybe even some people who voted for her, are beginning to attack her with further support. And I think in order for her to, you know, calm those people down or sit them up, she's making a valiant effort to make a big deal about this and to get a recount. So A, she could be in good light with the left wingers again, or pretty much her supporters, and also tone down a lot of Democrats, a lot of people on the left who despise her a bit more than they are now. Because if she does these recounts, she can't become the modern-day Ralph Nader. If she demands this recount and actually pays for it with her own reported donations, it kind of lowers down their voice a little bit more than it would. And also, I think she's doing it to keep supporters to keep a lot of supporters voted for her, who campaigned for her, who volunteered for her, who voted for her. Because maybe, you know, as this election, a lot of people voted green, may never vote green again. They may never donate to her campaign again because they feel that what they did got Trump elected. So I think she's doing it because she feels the pressure and she wants to keep support that she gained or that the party has gained in the last year and a half. So I don't think anything cynical. I just think that's the reason for it. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a recount, you know. God bless her, you know, she got enough donations to get recounts. Good for her, you know. I would, you know, surprise, you know, full transparency here, I voted for Trump. But, you know, this recount doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that people want to change the electoral college because this had lost. Having a recount? Go ahead, have a recount, you know? And believe me, on this show, plenty of times I praised Jill Stein in the way she ran her campaign. That hasn't changed now that she wants a recount. That doesn't change anything at all. Now, maybe if I was in her position and I had people blaming me for Hillary losing, blaming me for Donald Trump, from my voters and my supporters that it's their fault that Hillary didn't win, I might do the same thing she's doing. And you know what? The media has paid more attention to Jill Stein in the past, 2 weeks or so than they did the entire campaign. And that's a bit wrong because this was a federal candidate who you agree or disagree with but had, you know, policies and important issues nobody in the campaign was talking about. And nobody covered her. But all of a sudden, now, when we win a recount, and there's a bit of hope in the Hillary supporters' eyes that she could win, she's a punch on TV. She's not a tool. She's a credible candidate. Well, she was, you know, the election's over now. But she was. You know, in honor of the Hillary campaign and supporting it, I guess, that's what I saw on the internet. I would have saw that on, like, HLN this morning. But, you know, have a recount, you know. If I put your mind at ease, then have a recount, you know. It's no big deal. But Donald Trump, with the illegal voters and, you know, the vote fraud or whatever he's talking about now on Twitter, I mean, Donald, you won the election. The odds of the recounts affecting their votes doesn't matter because I don't think the recounts will be enough. But, you know, I think after the votes are all recounted, you're still going to win. And Donald Trump was really doing a good job trying to bring this country together little by little, having the right tone, saying the right things, and this happened. I mean, President-elect Trump, you won the election. You won. Just do your job, get a cabinet together, and move on and govern. You're not a candidate anymore. You're president-elect. Act like one, please. Don't fight this battle. It's pointless. There's no point in fighting the battle because you're still president. With all the recounts, you'll still be president-elect. Just get over it. Govern the country like many of your voters believe you can. Like you believe you can. And for this Mitt Romney thing, I mean, let's face it, Kellyanne Conway is a trooper. You know, do I blame Kellyanne for what she did? No. I mean, I know a lot of Trump voters during the primary season, and, you know, a lot of them don't like Mitt Romney. A lot of them were mad at Mitt Romney, you know, and a lot of them hate Mitt Romney because, A, he lost in 2012, and, B, he went out of his way to campaign against Trump. And I don't think he voted for Trump either, add in another layer of things. So, you know, Mitt Romney's Secretary of State, let's face it, it's politics. I will honestly be surprised if Romney doesn't get it. I think he will get it. I think it'd be a smart move for Trump to really put this party, you know, together and unite it for at least the next 2 years. You know, Mitt Romney isn't an idiot. You know, he might be a bad campaigner, but he's not stupid. He's a smart guy. You know, you wouldn't be where he is right now if he was stupid. But you know, let's face it. How many times in politics have we seen two people who despise each other end up working together to govern? You know? Ronald Reagan, James Baker, JFK, Lyndon Johnson. Lincoln won a divided convention, and he put the people he defeated into his administration. So, you know, I get it could be true, blue, all high and mighty, or loyalist, all you want, but at the end of the day, you just have to govern. And also, this isn't the first time in history two political enemies are working together. The victor is hiring the defeated to work for him. This has happened before many, many, many times. Now, I understand because Mitt Romney really went after him. Now, he needed to attack him. He did his best to destroy Donald Trump. And I get it. Believe me, you're angry. I'd be angry too. And I know Kelly, you know, I don't know her, but I could imagine Kellyanne is looking at this thing, wait a minute. I'm not picked for anything yet. Mitt Romney, the guy who, you know, went after you like there's no tomorrow, might be picked for probably the top job in the administration. You know, you have all these loyalists who are being hung out to dry. You know, and she is a voice for the Trump supporter. The diehard advocate, a loyal Trump supporters. I get it. You know, did she do the right thing? I don't know. Is she looking out for herself? Probably. You know, she wants to hold Trump's feet to the fire. And, you know, the lady, you know, and she's also a history maker. Let's not forget, she's the first female campaign manager to win a presidential election. The first one in history. But she's a small cookie, too. You know, and if I'm Trump, I'm, you know, doing everything I can to make her happy. Let's face it, without her, he may have been humiliated on election night. I give her a lot of credit for that campaign. I give a lot of credit for them even winning the campaign, even staying a lot to win it. And she's God, she's a gutsy person. You know, if she went on shelves, I would never go on if I was a Republican. She talked a lot of BS in the media. But she held her own. And you know, if Trump doesn't pick her, I'll be a bit disappointed, honestly. You know, she has to have a really disappointed campaign. For this Brexit thing, UKIP, I was just reading today, they've elected Paul Nuttall as leader of UKIP. A good pick. I was more in the Susanna Evans camp than I was the Nuttall camp. But, you know, I'm American, so who cares what I say? But we're on the UKIP election probably on Wednesday. But right now, we're talking about Brexit because we have not one, but two prime ministers pretty much hinting at or calling for a second referendum on the EU. And they're both prime ministers in the 90s. John Major, conservative prime minister, and Tony Blair, Labour prime minister. Now, if I'm Tony Blair, I'm shooting the hell up. Because number one, both of the people in the country can't stand you. own party can't stand you. I mean, look who they elected leader. John Major got humiliated in part of the world's defeat of all time. And he needed two spokesmen to try to get together another referendum. I don't have any feelings publicly toward either man, either way. No. I know a little bit about them. I know what they did as prime ministers, you know. I know how they governed and what their style was like. But, I mean, the British people have spoken. And let's face it, again, if the shoe was on the other foot, and you had Nigel Farage, Boris Johnson, calling for a second referendum, they would be laughed at. They would be criticized beyond belief. But because the left, the globalists, the media lost the protesting, shouting, bloody murder, you have two former prime ministers calling for another referendum vote. I mean, let's face it, if you would have won, you would be bashing, criticizing, mocking those people. So let's not be a hypocrite here. Let's be honest. You lost. Brexit's going to happen. Britain's going to leave the EU. Theresa May is no idiot. She's not. I mean, to get where she is today, you've got to be pretty smart and pretty gutsy, and she's both of those things. But of course, she's a politician. We get it, you know. But she's a very good politician, though. You know, I don't completely agree with Theresa May on anything, or I mean, agree with her on everything. But there's no doubt she's a smart person. She has a good political instinct. And believe me, by the time all this is resolved, a good portion of the country is going to be pretty pleased about it. And all this infighting, this court stuff, this EU Parliament battle, they'll all be decided. And I think the Republican Party should take a look at the Conservative Party playbook. Because let's face it, in 20, 30 years now, when the attitude in America will completely change, as it does now, you have to modernize your party. Now, I know something about Brexit now, but this is just a good look, because look what the Conservatives and look how dominant they are. Look at that playbook. But the Brexit, I mean, come on. Over 70% of the electorate voted. More people voted in the referendum than they did in the general election. The Leave vote has a higher mandate than the Conservative government does. You know, really amazes me how after a result, and you double down on it, saying this is the one and last referendum, telling the leavers or the skeptics of the EU, saying, this is it. If you lose, that's it. No more. But now that you lost, you want another referendum. This doesn't count. We need another one. Now, all the old people voted to leave, but all the young people voted to stay. Now, let's remember this. In 1970, I forget what year it is, 76, I think it was, so somewhere in the mid-70s, all those people who are quote-unquote old, who voted to leave, are the same people when they voted to go into the EU. So what are those quote-unquote old people who voted to leave back 40 years ago? You wouldn't be even in the EU.